You're listening to Salt Lake Dirt on KPCR 101.9 FM in Santa Cruz. Very excited to talk about a film today I had the chance to see, and it has a limited theatrical release November 16th, and then video on demand at the end of the month, November 28th. The film is Thin Skin, and we have the director and one of the co-writers with us today, Charles Mudede, is here to talk about the film. Mm-hmm. Charles, thank you so much for being here this evening.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. So I guess after I watched the film and I try not to look up too much stuff when I get a film. Mm-hmm. I just want to watch it and mm-hmm. kind of get enjoy it for what it is, and then maybe look up some stuff after. So after I looked up the film and saw some of the information about it, it has a really fascinating backstory of kind of where this story came from. So maybe you could tell mm-hmm. us a bit about the film and how you became involved with it.
You know, I was a screenwriter, and I'd worked on a number of projects with a guy called Robinson DeWard, and we made a film called Police Beat, and then we made a film called Zoo, which is sort of notorious, and then we went and worked on a couple of other projects, and they were just never completed. And I was just sitting around, you know, it was crazy because, you know, as I said, it's an old joke of mine, and I go over and again, I was making money, but nothing was getting made, right? Yeah. And I always say this, I always like, this is one of the ironies is that I actually made more money during this period than I ever have.
There's nothing out there.
Nothing out there. But yeah, I'd get contracts and, you know, and so forth and so on. And so I was sitting around, and around 2012, I went to watch a show called Now I'm Fine. And it was about it was a sort of part comedy and part jazz musical. I watched it and I said, you know, I know this guy and I know his partner, who was Lindy West. And so I approached Aham and said, you know, look, why don't we just write a screenplay together and turn this show into a screenplay? I think it'd make a pretty cool movie. Mm-hmm. And that's how it all started. And he agreed. I mean, I'm always surprised that he agreed. But, you know, you can take advantage of young people. I didn't have to say, and I didn't bring up anything about money. I just used my cultural capital and said, yeah, let's just get into it. And he did. And we just went at it. And eventually Lindy joined, and the film you watched is about 6 or 7 years of just rewriting and writing and raising funding and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and what struck me was how funny it is.
Yeah,
hilarious. I mean, and you know, it's a you know, drama. There's some very serious elements there, like very mm-hmm. heartbreaking, and I was in it with the characters, but the humor was just. So that's why I knew, I was like, this has to be the writing of it just impeccable, because it was so hilarious. And like the beats of the jokes, they weren't cheap shots. They're just honestly funny. And the people you had involved, mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of it. Like the people you had mm-hmm. as actors, hilarious. I would love to hear. So I guess we should say, I'm curious about, so we have the off-Broadway Now I'm Fine. And then there was an episode of This American Life as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It went off Broadway, right? It went to the Public Theater in New York City. Then it went on what's that, the radio show you just said now?
This American Life?
This American Life, yeah. And then, so really, I had a journey. But all of that was happening as we were working on it.
Really?
Yeah. Because when I first saw it, it was a work in progress. It wasn't the actual show. It was a sketch that he had in mind. He consolidated it And then finally had a premiere. I'm certain after around 2015.
Yeah.
And so in Seattle. And so that's where the that's where that that went along. Yeah, yeah. But there's something else I wanted to say. You know, you just brought up the humor and the, you know, one thing I was struck by, because I sort of started making films around 2003, right, at that time, right? And I worked on a long project. No, actually, you can go back to 2001. And I had a screenplay called Superpower. And it was never made, but I went to the Sundance Screenplay Lab with that one. And then afterwards, we started working on a script for on Police Beat. Now, I start basically in 2001, and I go all this, a decade, right? A decade of working on film, and some of them are made, and none of them are funny, right? And you know, seriously. I mean, people might find the zoo to be funny, right? You know, the guy dies having sex with a horse. I mean, someone might find that film. But in fact, I'm mostly known for that film. And but I wrote I worked on that with Robinson Moore. But I was like, all these films are serious. Hmm. And so one of the things that I enjoyed when I saw Ahan's show was it was a comedy. It was a comedy with a lot of heartbreak in it, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, and a lot of love in it. And so I jumped at the chance to finally do what I enjoy doing, which is write in comic writing. Yeah.
Well, it's brilliant. I love the film, and I think Ahamda, it's based loosely off his life. From my understanding,
I'm not sure if it's even loosely,
which makes it so much more fascinating than if that's the case. I mean, I guess tell us a bit about him and kind of, you know, a bit about the story so people know what they can expect when this is coming out in just a couple of weeks.
There's. One is he's a kid who's he's a young man who's a jazz musician in Seattle. The music is to me really important, and so if you don't like the whole movie, you're gonna like the music, but you're gonna like the whole movie because it is really a story about a family, right? Facing the challenges and trying to make sense of loss and all these things, right? Trying to make sense of working in a society that can be pretty bland, right? And you know what I mean? And make all these kinds of demands on your patience, right?
Yes.
What I really wanted people to enjoy is, and when you watch it, you know, watch it moment by moment, right? Mm-hmm. Don't leap ahead, right? Always stay with where we are in the story, because there's a lot going on. And I think sometimes we watch movies with the expectation that we have to rush to the next point.
Yeah.
And you sort of miss this, right? The saturation of what's happening with the mother, what's happening with the sister, what's happening with the daughters, what's happening with the job. So go for it. Just watch it part by part. And then, you know, it'll accumulate. And I think that by the end, the thing comes together. And the whole feel of the work.
Yeah. And it reminds me of music itself, which is so interesting. You put it that way, because with music, I'm not a musician, but just listening to music, I'm not looking for the next piece of me. I'm just I'm in that moment enjoying the piece. I'm not like, I can't wait for this part. I can't wait for this part. You're just in it. You're enjoying it. And the same thing with this film, like that's how I felt with it. So it had a very musical feel to it beyond the music that was in the film.
Mm-hmm.
You just were in it with the characters, like brilliant what you just said, how you are just with them moment to moment. I want to talk about some of the other actors in the film. So the mother in particular.
Oh, Annette, was
incredible.
Oh, she's stunning.
Tell me about her, how you got her into the film. I just thought she did such a beautiful job and funny.
Yeah.
Just brilliant.
Yeah. We were looking around for the mother, and she's in the theater world in Seattle. And I'd sort of known her through friends. And when we did a table reading, I asked her to play the mother, and she was so good at it that there was not even, after that point, there was like, oh, you're the one.
Yeah.
This is way before even we shot a single bit. You're the one. You really are. And she became that. And that's how she, and I'm glad, because, you know, that was a really difficult. Well, no, you think that, because you have to play somebody who's kind of like a little off, right?
Yeah.
Right. And says things that are sort of, problematic. but you know that there's this warmth in this person.
Yeah.
Right. Despite the fact, right, that it's not, so it's a difficult line to walk, right?
Yeah.
As an actor. And it really pulled it off, right? But you have to be like, yes. And I remember I'd direct her, and she'd say, am I being too theatrical? I said, no. Doing what you're doing. Trust me, it's working. People will love it. Because when you come on, everyone will know that it's going to be a show here. Get ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was great. She was the best. I mean, I looked forward to scenes with her. Yeah. The best. Now this goes back the film, as far as it being like put out into festivals, does this go back? It goes back to about 2019, 2020.
Well,
when you were in festivals.
No. What happened was we didn't even, we edited the film during the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
That's why it's sort of coming out a little late now, because a lot of people don't know that. We had to wait, first of all, for the for when we did color correction. Not color correction. Yeah, it was color correction. We had to do that and sound design. We had to do that with we couldn't in a building where they wouldn't allow more than three people in. I mean, this is like late in the in the lockdown.
Yeah.
But we didn't get the film done we didn't get the film, and even then it was still like all this stuff that you have to do, but everything's shut down, right, for like the whole of until 2021.
Yeah.
Right. And then we started like crawling out of the hole, and there was no theaters at all at that time. And we did a few things online, but it was just it was not the ideal situation for a new film. And a lot of people were looking for the Hollywood had this, was focused on big names, because there was no theater, there was nothing, right? There was no the whole system was silenced, or that sort of thing. And so anyway, eventually we got a distributor, and then it took a long time to prepare for the launch. And we're here in 2023, and my God, I'm really happy for it to come out. And it's a great distributor, Bayview, and they've done a solid job in getting the film out there. I mean, I feel really lucky, because a lot of films that came out of that period, were sort of lost.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's what it is. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. And then there's a theatrical release coming up November 16th, that weekend. Is there going to be a big premiere in Seattle where people who were involved in the film? Tell us about that.
It'll be great because a lot of people will get to see it on the big screen. It still matters. You know, you shoot something for the big screen, right? Sean Kirby, my cinematographer, who I've worked with on another, he's actually this is our fourth project together. He shoots with, right? He lights with the big screen in mind. And that's how that's how you set it up. And so, I mean, it's great for anybody to watch it I watched a lot of, you know what I mean? I'm also a film critic, so I have to watch stuff on the computer. But you know, the real venue, the real experience is still the theater, right? And so it was crazy. I really liked Bayview for this because this was earlier in the year when we're sort of finalizing the role, you know, how the distribution. You know, the Josh who's at Bayview said, "Oh, and is anybody thinking like we could do a theatrical?" And I'm like, "What? Want to do a theatrical?"
That's so cool. Yeah,
I was so caught by surprise, and I said, "Yes, we want to put in some theaters." And I was like, I was almost, you know, almost in tears because you don't even think you're just happy just to get somebody to put it on, you know, to set up for streaming and DVD and whatever. Mm-hmm. They were like, yeah, we want to get into the theater. We think it's that kind of film. And so I didn't even ask for that. I'm really grateful. And I feel like I'm lucky because, yeah. So people in Seattle, they have a few days here. Five days that you can watch it at the Oak Lodge, and the Great Theater, just right here in Columbia City, which is in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And so I'm, you know, I couldn't have asked for more. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now you mentioned, you're a film critic. You're involved with the weekly up there in Seattle, The Stranger, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. They are writing.
Yeah, tell me about that. That's fascinating to me.
Oh yeah. I've been a critic for The Stranger for since 2001, full time.
Wow.
I'm a dinosaur. Every year, this is a dinosaur. I've had the same full time job, right, for over 20 years. This is unheard of, right?
It is. It is.
Yeah, it's like. Yeah, and I can't even believe how much ink I've spilled, right? I know in Seattle I have a bit of a reputation. Actually, most people know me as a writer, and a troublemaker, right? And rather than but they also know that I make films but I have a lot of haters out here, which means I'm doing very well.
That's true.
A lot of them. The more, the better, right? Reddit never wastes time to take a right. Take a swipe at me, and that's what I do. And I also, you know, teach at Cornish College on the side. So I'm really, you know, I've always loved teaching as well, writing it for The Stranger has been thing, you know, and you know, for a while, I don't know if people know him, but Dan Savage was my boss for a long time. Uh-huh. And he's sort of the big name. And I met Lindy West, who did Shrill, right? The Hulu show. I met her through The Stranger.
Okay.
And Sean Nelson, who was in the band Harvey Danger.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody knows that.
Flag I remember Paulson. That. Yeah, I know that.
He used to sit next to me. He's now in Tennessee, but we all work together. So there's a lot of cultural, you know, Lynn Shelton. What did Lynn Shelton? Oh, Lynn Shelton made the movie Hump Day, the one that launched was based on The Stranger.
Really?
That's what we do. We do a porn festival. where, which is very popular and it's still running to this day. That comes out of The Stranger and what's his name? The Gyllenhaals, Stephen.
I'm not what's sure his name?
The big, the actor. Oh, he's got him and his sister. Anyway, it's just a bunch of cultural stuff that comes out. In fact, yeah. So, yeah, that's where it comes from. So it's we're very productive, and we're always in trouble for something.
Well, that's good. It's like, I mean, I'm sure it's shaped your filmmaking sensibilities in a lot of ways. You've seen so many films. You've seen what does not work. You've seen what works, and you know, with coming back to Thin Skin, this is a film that works, and I really want people to check it out. I mean, it's just so unique and unlike anything that I've seen before. And I suppose a lot of that has to do with it coming from his real life. I mean, there were so many different elements to it. And like I said, we have and it's, you know, not to mention how funny it is. And then the music's incredible, the actors, you know, everything about it. I just thought it was a wonderful film. Anything else you want to say as we kind of wrap up here? Very exciting that it's coming out finally.
Well, yeah, I'm very happy that it's coming out. And, you know, I'd love it if anybody in Los Angeles can get a chance to go and check it out on April 16th. I always get that theater wrong. It's a LAMMI. Oh, good. I have to remember this stuff. I'm not very good.
I'll find the links. I'll put the links
I'm
up
so
there.
Frazzled.
No,
I'm so
no
frazzled.
Worries.
it'll be there on the 16th in Santa Monica, and at the theater there, and I'll be there as well as Alex Riviera, and so will the director of Sleep Dealer. He's gonna moderate a panel that includes Lindy West. And also Ijoma Oluo, who writes books primarily and was on the New York bestsellers list for Let's Talk About Race and and so it's going to be great. If anybody wants to be there, please check it out. And also, just I want to remind everybody. It's interesting because I'm an African by birth, you know what I mean? And it's an African story as well. Mm-hmm. And so it takes place in Seattle, but the ghost in the story is Nigerian,
right?
And so, and it's just let everybody know. And there's lots of stuff going on in this film. Please. You can come and see it.
Yeah, it was great. I learned a lot too. Like not to mention, I learned a lot about that culture, which I found fascinating and made me intrigued to learn more. But I'll have links to all these screenings where people can find it online, where people can purchase it, purchase it later on this month. But Charles, thank you so much. Thin Skin is the film, everybody. This was a real treat chatting with you. I love the film. And
thank you.
I wish you the best with it. And I look forward to your new projects, and I'm definitely going to be reading your column from now on. I'm going to start following your work.
I don't want to make you into a hater.
I'm not a hater. You sound like you're right up my alley. So I think this is great.
Great. So, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.